We'll see how far we get, but first of all, the reminder, as St. Paul says in the first reading about himself, his credentials, the church's credentials. Do we come in our own name? No, he says, what does he say? What do you remember what he said? He said, our qualifications come from God, who has qualified us as ministers of his new covenant. So it's always important when we sit there and question ourselves about, well, I believe in God, but not the church, or the church, but, I don't know, not that church, or any church, it doesn't matter, because no one has any authority. Like, St. Paul's very confident about his authority, and he's not afraid to present his credentials as coming from God. We have to remember who we are, and where we come from, and what our ministry and mission is, and whose it is. This is a little complicated to talk about the message of Jesus, and even kind of St. Paul, that our ministry and our new covenant is not of letter, but of spirit. And St. Paul says, it's rather Jesus himself says, I've not come to cast out the letter of the old, but to fulfill it in the spirit. How do you understand that? How does that work? And there's a lot to be said. Even Deacon Jason over the weekend, I think he touched on this comparison between things in the Old Testament, like the manna in the desert, that bread that nourished their bodies, but they still died. And yet the manna of the new covenant, recognized in Jesus, the Eucharist, gives a life that never ends. It brings to a higher level the old. It brings to fulfillment the old. I'm going to try and read something from St. John Paul II. Yes. Jesus brings God's commandments to fulfillment, especially the commandment of love of neighbor, by interiorizing their demands, and by bringing out their fullest meaning. Love of neighbor springs from a loving heart, from within, not because it's commanded, but not only that, but because first something's happened on the inside. A loving heart, which precisely because it loves, is ready to live out the loftiest challenges. Jesus shows that the commandments must not be understood as a minimum limit, not to be gone beyond, thou shalt not murder, but rather as a path involving a moral and spiritual journey towards a higher level of perfection, at the heart of which is love from within. Thus the commandment, thou shalt not murder, becomes an invitation, a call to an attentive love that not just avoids killing your neighbor, but protects and promotes the life of your neighbor. The precepts prohibiting adultery is not just thou shalt not commit adultery physically, but it becomes an invitation to a pure way of looking at others, capable of respecting, St. Paul's phrase, the spousal meaning of the body, that we are made for love. Jesus himself is the living fulfillment of the law, insofar as he, just look at his own life, he fulfills its authentic meaning through the total gift of himself towards his Father and towards neighbor. He himself becomes a living and personal law who invites people to follow him. He is the Word of God, the law of God. He even gives us through the Spirit grace to share his own life and his love. And he provides the strength for us to bear witness to that love in our own personal choices and actions, which for us is impossible, but for God anything is possible. Those who live by the flesh, St. Paul says, experience God's law as still a burden, and indeed as a denial, or at least a restriction of our own personal freedom and freedoms. On the other hand, those who are impelled by love and walk by the Spirit through God's gift of grace, and who desire to serve others, therefore, find in God's law the necessary way in which to practice love as something freely chosen and freely lived out. Not because I have to follow this law, but because my heart, changed by grace, impels me towards love. They feel an interior urge, a genuine necessity, and no longer a form of coercion, not to stop at the minimum demands of the law, but to live them in their fullness. Yes, this is still uncertain and fragile journey. This is very difficult for us as long as we are on earth. Even St. Paul says, we groan inwardly as we await the full redemption of our bodies. But it is one made possible by grace, which enables us to possess the full freedom of the children of God, and thus live our moral life in a way worthy of our sublime vocation as daughters and sons of God in the Son. So we're trying to understand that, like, our Lord did come to fulfill the Old Testament externals through an internal change. And this was like John Paul II focusing on the moral law. I just want to share one last thing, because like the manna in the desert, there's also the sacramental dimension, like the fact that everything of the Old Testament, the laws, the Ten Commandments, and the figures and experiences and the stories of the Old Testament find a fulfillment in a deeper way spiritually in the new. See how far I get. You still with me? Stop sleeping. Wake up. All right, moral and sacramental, okay? When the priest, so this is actually taken from the story of Joshua, which we read, the priest read in the breviary this morning, Joshua and the crossing of the Jordan. When the priest and Levites halted on the Jordan River, the waters held back and heaped up as if out of respect for God's ministers. Old Testament, New Testament. Thus allowing the people of God a safe crossing. We Christians should not be surprised to read in the Old Testament about the things that were done for the earlier people. For in your own baptism, we too have passed through the waters of the Jordan, and God has promised us far greater and higher blessings, the old fulfilled in the new. We have been promised a passage to the very, well, he goes on, I'll skip that, just for you guys. In fact, all these things come true for us in a mystical way, all the Old Testament stories. When you left the darkness of idolatry and were anxious to reach the understanding of the divine law, you began your exodus from Egypt, when you began a deepening conversion of life. When you were numbered among the catechumens before your baptism and first undertook to obey the laws of the church, you crossed the Red Sea. As you halt each day on your journey through the desert of this broken life, and your conversion deepens, you devote some time to listening to God's law and looking upon the face of Moses. As you read the Old Testament scriptures of Moses, they are unveiled for you by the glory of the Lord, much like the Old Testament stories. And when you come to the spiritual waters of baptism, and in the presence of the priests and Levites, you are initiated into those great and awe-inspiring mysteries. Then you too cross the Jordan through the ministry of the priests. You enter the promised land through grace, where Jesus, following Moses, takes you in his charge and becomes your leader in this new journey. So I hope you, maybe it's too much, a lot of theology. Good morning. So we ask to ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten our minds to understand how the old is not cast away, not abolished, but fulfilled in Christ, both morally, the moral law, and the stories, all the stories of the Old Testament, we live them out sacramentally. Amen? Amen. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, pray for us.